B-Pod Studios.
How's it going? Yeah, I definitely didn't have my best day at all, and I think everyone around me had a great day, and that's what football is all about. I got to find ways to improve in that aspect of just being consistent and making the throws I know I can make, and the offensive line did a great job keeping me clean, and the receivers were getting open, and the backs were running hard and protecting. Same thing with the tight ends, they were getting open. So, I mean, it's just you got to watch the film and look at the X's and O's of it. But I think just overall message is just keep playing, and it's not always going to be perfect. And for me, sometimes that's really hard because I want it to be, you know, better than that, because I feel like it falls on my hands a lot, because that's what quarterback is, which is a good thing. But I can definitely play better, and I'll put that on me. But everyone around me did a great job. Special teams, defense played great. And I think we just played together and didn't quit. So the effort was there. And the guys around me played good, so that's all there is to it.
Hour two on a reentry Monday, Mac Jones's day, uneven to say the least. Maz, what were your thoughts on his afternoon?
I thought it was one of his worst games. I thought he was all over the place. I think he got sped up. There were some throws that he would normally make that he missed. There were some good ones in there, too. I don't want to totally ignore those. There was one to Aguilar in particular early in the game that he dropped in near the right sideline that I thought was a fabulous throw. Fabulous. But a lot of those throws where, you know, he's typically on the money, those short and even, you know, intermediate throws in some ways over the middle of the field, he was high, he was off target. I think he gets sped up, and I worry that this sort of is the sort of thing that happens to him when he gets hit. That, you know, and I'm talking about the accumulation of hits during the year now.
That happens to every quarterback.
Absolutely, though. Murray. Yeah, and this is the one thing I do worry about with him. So he was not great yesterday. He made him when he had to at the end of the game. He was money, you know, in the fourth quarter and on third down in particular. I think they hit three in a row on that last drive, right?
So he was 4 for 4 on that last drive. He hit each of his last 6 passes, and that's how he finished the day. It was odd. You know, he started 6 for 9. And we were just talking off the air, that first deep ball he threw to Aguilar was maybe his best throw of the year.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
I mean,
yeah, beautiful. You remember he had that one early in the year to James White where he kind of dropped it in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a good one too, but this one was up there. This is one of his better throws.
So he starts 6 for 9, and then I don't know if it was the hits that got to him or something, but he just all of a sudden lost his rhythm and was all over the place, as you said. I think he was like 2 for his next 13 or something like that. But he did complete the last 6 balls that he threw in the game. He was 4 for 4 on that final drive. He picked up a quarterback sneak on that final drive. Picked up a 3rd and 1 where they put it in his hands. He did that little sprint out action to Jacoby Myers, which feels like that should be a bread and butter kind of play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, at the end of the day, what I care about. As long as your defense is good, which I didn't think the Patriots defense could you know, hold an opponent in the teens like they did, you know, discounting that garbage time throw. And if that's all you need, if you really are that kind of team that can run and play defense and you just need your quarterback to pick up a couple third downs when you need him, then I'm fine with the day. You know, I'm fine. I don't need him making the Pro Bowl or whatever. I don't have him in fantasy.
The good news is he shook it off, right? I mean, because that bad stretch, it was bad. The one he threw low to Hunter Henry, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but Hunter Henry's face, he was like, you got to be kidding me. That was one where Mac Jones looked like, pressure. Like, he really looked rattled on that one. And he was going sideways for a while, but he showed up when they needed it on that last drive because he shook it off, because he goes back to the bench and he does those weird breathing exercises and he just gets real robotic about it. But that's how you have to be a successful quarterback in the league.
No turnovers for him.
Yep.
Right? No. So again,
Could have had one on the goal line.
Yep.
One of those, and it was to Bourne.
Yeah.
So throw to Bourne that was tipped up, that was loose into coverage. Could add one, but didn't. Go ahead.
So, look, again, if you're saying that at the end of the day he's going to manage the game, don't kill them. Don't kill the team. And he didn't. I mean, again, he didn't make a ton of plays in this game, but he didn't kill them either, and there were some plays early in the year that hurt.
Yeah, and overall, it was not a good day. Overall, it was a take-a-step-back day for Jones. And on that last drive, while he was 4 for 4, they were all pretty much wide open. Wasn't much of a degree of difficulty on any of those. And so here's my question, though, and this just occurred to me. Today, how I've heard a lot of fans and analysts sort of frame this thing this year this way, that said, well, the most important thing this year is that Mac Jones is the next guy. So we're okay with wins and losses. The more important thing is that Mac Jones is the next guy and he looks like he's the next guy. So if they miss the playoffs, but they identify their quarterback, I'm good. We've heard this a lot, right?
Sure.
Well, yesterday, the quarterback didn't look good, and they got the win. So how do you feel about that? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
This runs counter to the way a lot of people have handled this year. I'll take the loss, but I want Mac Jones to look good. Well, Mac Jones looked bad, and you got the win. How do you feel about that? Because for me, I kind of prefer this thing. I frankly do. You know, to me, you've got to prove you can win and be part of a winning team and that whole thing. I mean, the whole Justin Herbert hype, I haven't quite been on that train because I haven't seen it translate to winning football and being a winning team. And I know they had a 4-2 record and, you know, maybe they're on their way, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't totally seen it. So it's like, You can have that quarterback, but if you're 7-9, it just does a little less for me. So I'm okay with Mac Jones having a bad day if it's part of a winning performance and he learns from it and just makes a few plays. But at the end of the day, his quarterback rating sucks and his completion percentage sucks and it was a C-minus kind of performance, but they won and he made a few plays to help you win. I'm like, I feel better today than I do with a great game and a loss. I do. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm. Yeah.
No, I think for his growth, a game like yesterday is for his overall arc. It's better for him, and you want to see them win, and especially with the way the AFC is, you know, starting to shape up here. Like they have a legitimate shot in a path now.
I mean, there's just too many people who made the things mutually exclusive when they shouldn't have been. It's like from the beginning, I was saying, well, why can't he play well and they win?
I was just going to say, why can't it be both?
Like that's. But there were too many people who said, well, you know, we'll accept the losses just so the quarterback's good. That's my number one priority. Well, okay, you're 5-12. But really? But you're good because you think the quarterback can play? Well, okay, then you must have hated yesterday, pal. Because the quarterback, your young quarterback sucked, but you won, and you're back in the playoff race.
Yeah, it's because everyone wants to be wowed by the quarterback, and it might have some fantasy implications as well. Like, people want to see the big numbers and the stats and that kind of thing. I think that all plays into it.
So be a little consistent. You know, for those of you that were good with the losing, but Mac Jones is identified as the guy, then yesterday was just the opposite for you. Just the opposite. He looked like he took a step back, and you won. So, I don't know, that just occurred to me in my contrarian nature. It's like, you know, what do you want? I want yesterday. I mean, ideally, I want him to play well and they win. Of course. So let's strive for that, shall we? Not the either or. But if presented the either or, I sort of like the team being in the playoff hunt and these games mattering. And I think that's going to help his development, whether he plays well or poorly or anywhere in between. If the games mean something, and he goes through those highs and lows of a team that's in contention in games that are impactful and mean something, as opposed to playing out the string in a 3-8 year, and then he goes on this run at the end of the year, and we have our quarterback, but the games didn't mean anything. That was Justin Herbert last year. They were 3-8 last year when they lost to the Patriots. And it's like, yeah, they went on a run after that, and Herbert put up all these numbers, and I see the physical talent there too, but until it translates to winning football, I don't know, I guess I'm less enamored.
Yeah, and look, I'll even say that the adversity part of it too, like bouncing back from that, I would tell you that I think the fourth quarter had more of an impact on his development yesterday than the whole game last week. The whole game last week was a complete, that was a
damn straight.
That was a party for crying out loud.
Waste of time.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't gain that much out of those games. But on a day where you're not completing passes, now you got to close it out in the fourth quarter and you do it on the final drive. That'll give you a little boost.
And there's something, you know, I think the kid needs some work, development, maturity, or looking into when it comes to his psyche and how down he gets and his emotions or somewhere in that space. You heard the Evan Washburn report there on the telecast of at the end of the first half, his teammates had to go console him at the end of the first half. You know, I didn't see any shots of it, but was he hanging his head on the bench, one of those things, or they had to go over to him and console him or talk to him or whatever. And it was just a half and they were firmly in the ball game. And so I think he's subject to these ups and downs or something, again, something in that space. And you know, he's heavily managed and the way he talks sometimes is like, he's clearly in with his sports psychologists, and there's a big guy at Alabama that he uses and that they all go to, and so he's all well-versed in the lingo and knows what he should do and knows what the textbook says about it. But this is something to watch going forward. He gets a little wound up, I think.
Yeah, he expects a lot out of himself, clearly, so he doesn't do well with a lot of the failure. But I told you, some of the stuff I like, sticking his nose in there and pushing the pile. David Andrews is in an argument, grabs him by the jersey, tries to pull him out of there. Like, you know, he's not afraid to stick his nose in. He's not afraid to line guys up, bark some orders out. And, you know, and again, he's not even halfway through his first year yet. So to me, there's a lot to like there. I'm worried about the arm as much as anything, but his makeup, I think his makeup is good.
Okay, so the numbers go down. The numbers go down, but there's a W. Do you care? I'm almost glad he had a 50-something completion percent. His completion percentage was starting to annoy me. Oh, yay, he completes 70% of his passes. What good is it? They don't score points. They're not going in the end zone. It's like I think people are starting to overrate that thing. I'd rather him have a few more incompletes if it leads to a few more touchdowns and a few more points on the board. That's what it's about at the end of the day. I think that was a little bit of a crutch, or people are falling back on that. So here he had a 50% completion day and a 70 quarterback rating. He wasn't that good, and they won. He completed his last six balls, picked up a couple key first downs at the end of the game, and they won. I'll take that. I'll take that over the 75 completion percentage day against some bum team. All right, so there's your Mac Jones topic. To your phones, I promise, right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.com. Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Eckler runs up the middle, runs into Guy, and Hightower there as well. And he continues to churn the legs, pushing the pile, still going to the goal line.
That's embarrassing.
And into the end zone. Touchdown, L.A.
Absolutely embarrassing. You had it stuffed at the four. They're waiting for a whistle for forward progress to be stopped. The forward progress was never stopped. It's a great effort by Eckler to keep it moving. Davis is right there. He's got a chance to pull him. And you got four guys standing up, even Bentley. Bentley's looking for the whistle. Terrible.
Encouraging as the defense was, there were still a couple of rough moments. That first touchdown, embarrassing, said Scott Zolak.
Carl Davis looked interested on that play, didn't he?
You're saying he didn't.
Oh, yeah, he checked out. I thought he just kind of stood there and thought the whistle was going to blow. He wasn't alone either.
75-yarder by their backup. Not so hot.
Yeah, defense, the support there in the linebacking core looked particularly good. I thought Hightower looked good on that play.
How do you feel about their linebacking core, man?
Awful. Awful. You know, Duggar made a mistake on the other big run that they had. I felt like they over-pursued, let the guy, you know, cut back to the hole, and that was it. And so I feel this is a big problem there. Bentley has his moments, but he's limited. He's not the fastest guy in the world. Hightower feels to me like he's done. I thought he was a little more engaged in the game yesterday, but he's still, you know, misreading plays or making bad plays. I think their linebacking play has sucked. I'm not sure their safety play's been all that good either, with the exception of Phillips.
Okay. Duggar's been good.
Yeah.
Nah. Okay. He's really meh. The Bryant kid, I feel like they're sort of mixing in some opportune stuff. You know, I think he had a good pass rush at one point.
Yeah, he harassed Herbert yesterday. I like that kid.
And then I think he broke up a key third down. He and McCourty, I think, or he and maybe Jackson. So I think the Bryant kid gets in there. I think McCourty was in there once or twice. Duggar, to me, is a disappointment. I'm wanting more from him. I'm just wanting more from Kyle Duggar. I think their safety play is okay. The linebacker stuff's a whole different issue.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't think McCourty's been all that great. Duggar, to me, is a run game player. You know, a young Patrick Chung. He made a play in the pass game against the Jets. But, you know, even so, I just don't see enough from him in the pass game.
Okay, back to your calls here. As promised, here's Tim in Nashville. Hi, Tim.
Mike, I'm not sure how to explain this, but I mean, I haven't seen the Patriots like this probably in years. There's chaos on both sides of the ball. I think the kid, like you said, just win the game. Instead of, you know, sending these receivers out there and expecting him to throw, to, you know, develop a package where, the, you know, each set of receivers that comes out that he can identify with and start a relationship. Otherwise, it seems like he's...
Okay, you know, Tim, I'm not totally sure exactly what you're talking about. The chaos is too strong of a word. They're burning timeouts where in the past they've never needed to burn timeouts. They're wasting timeouts routinely every week because they can't get the personnel right on defense, or this pass game, they got a stupid shoving match while the play clock is still running and they lost track of it, and they end up with 6 minutes left with no timeouts. That's garbage. That's just garbage stuff. That is a little bit of chaos, but that's sideline. And on the play calling stuff, I think the play calling's good up and down the field. The red zone, I think Josh McDaniels is having a little bit of a hard time finding the right rhythm. And he's throwing when he should run and running when he should throw, and now he's kind of chasing his tail a little bit down there. I do not think overall that the play calling is an issue. I think in the red zone, though, that McDaniels is having a hard time finding the sweet spot. That's what I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yesterday, they did for sure. Again, you get a bad run defense on the other side. You're at the 1.5-yard line with two plays. Hand it off twice and get in there.
Manuel is in Swansea. Yes, Manuel.
Manuel,
go ahead.
I'm confused with the television. I'm sorry, I've been waiting a long time.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
The pleasure is ours, Manuel.
I just wanted to mention Bill Belichick. He's a good coach. And I wanted to mention that Tom Landry was also a good coach. If you recall, Tom Landry was the one that instituted the quarterback on third down instead of being up close to the center.
Shotgun.
They put him in the back to get more time to pass.
That's right.
And everybody made fun of Tom Landry for that. But if you notice, they're not only using it on third down, they're using it on first, second, third, and fourth.
So, Manuel, is there anything else?
Tom Landry was a... Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I think the Patriots, they're playing well.
Sure, okay, yeah, well, these last couple of weeks.
Yep. Thank you very much.
I try to land that plane for him.
Go ahead.
Here's where Belichick's a really good coach. Dealing with rookie head coaches, because, you know, these last couple of weeks they've had to deal with teams coming out of a bye. Like, I thought that was going to be, with the way the Patriots are playing, like, oh, you're getting the Jets out of a bye, you're getting the Chargers out of a bye. Since 2019, rookie head coaches, 3-9 following the bye, including 0-3 against the Patriots. That's where, you know, Belichick owns these wet-behind-the-ear coaches.
I mean, all four wins this year, rookie coaches, right?
Yeah.
It's the only teams they've beaten that had rookie coaches. Now, I'm going to give Manuel a little tip the next time you call, because you were on the right path. You just took a wrong turn. So what you want to say is Tom Landry was a good coach.
Until he wasn't.
And then he got old and sucked. And now I'm worried that that's happening to Bill.
That's where I thought we were going.
Then we're in business.
Tim and Blackstone. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. This seemed to be the defense's best game. It seemed like they actually made adjustments throughout the game, something that definitely has been lacking at the beginning of the year. And, Felger, I know you love the social media aspect of stuff. I don't know if you were aware. There was some very cryptic stuff coming out from Gerard Mayo this week. I don't know if you saw the locker room footage after the game last week, but him and Bill had a little – thought it was a little cold. Congratulations, nice win on the game after. And then on top of it all, did you see a lot of Steven Belichick this week? It seemed like it was the first week where there wasn't somewhat of a segment on him. I just am curious to see if there's settling down going down at Patriots place.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, so Maz mentioned this off the air.
Yeah, there was not a lot of video of Steven Belichick this week. It struck me too that, you know, there were shots of Bill on the sideline. I saw some of McDaniels. I don't remember seeing Steven Belichick. I didn't see Mayo either. But after all the attention he had been getting, maybe it did boil over. Maybe the Patriots sensed that Mayo was getting pissed, and they finally said, okay, let's you know, tell the TV crews to stay off of Steven.
Or Bill's taking the reins back, and he thinks they both stink.
Maybe. I wouldn't rule that out either. But my guess is that he still wants his son on TV. So it felt to me like all of a sudden cold turkey.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, there's been a lot of Steven Belichick on the air the last couple of weeks. This year is zero.
What's the undercurrent?
This week, rather.
What's the social media undercurrent with Gerard Mayo?
News to me. I don't know. Maybe I should start following him. I'll do a little intel here.
We'll start digging around, or maybe that Jake in Boston can just clue us in. Tommy and Lynn. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, boys? All right, this is what I got to say. They played okay. Mac, like you guys said, he was 18 for 35, 218 yards, and no interceptions, but a couple sacks. Offensive line played okay. Defense played okay, too. I love the win. We're 4-4, 500 for the second time this year. Now let's keep it up. Let's keep it going, boys.
Okay, babe.
They're right there, guys. They get to be in the playoffs.
They're right there. 4-4. This 4-4 feels different than, I don't know, what were they last year when they beat Baltimore? Did they get to 500
one of those games? They got to 5-5 at one point, I think.
Or maybe even 6-6.
Yeah, that sounds right.
This one feels different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like they're getting better. Yeah, I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like they are improving. Last year, I don't know that I ever felt that they were improving, and at the end of the year, I'd argue they got worse.
And are you paying attention to what's going on with, like, their path, at least for the next handful of games in the AFC?
Well, so let me tell you about the path. As someone who's, you know, loves path talk and, you know, was very much into path talk last year, the path talk at this juncture is kind of silly. You're a half game out of the playoffs and there's 9 to go.
Mm-hmm. You're in it.
You don't need to even consider the path. It's like you're there. You're right there. If you can go 6-3 the rest of the way, you're in.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, I think that's probably the way it's going to be. And there's, you know, the path last year, the path talk last year was tricky.
Yeah, you really had to tinker.
You sucked. And you had to get connoiter all these losses with everybody else, and you had multiple losses, and you had to jump 3 or 4 teams. Like, that was a challenge.
But you can't blame people for looking ahead for at least these next 3 games. Next week, Sam Darnold, concussed. Christian McCaffrey, probably still not going to play. Following week, Cleveland, 2 suck quarterbacks, no offensive identity. And the week after that, Atlanta, their best wide receivers out until further notice with mental health. And not to mention the Titans, that game's no longer as daunting because you're not going to get steamrolled by Derrick Henry. He's basically done for the year. So, you know, now this looks a little bit like, oh, well, they could actually,
if you want to look at
a better spot here.
I mean, I think they could easily lose this week.
Sure.
If they don't play well.
I just think that
is Sam Darnold out? Didn't they win yesterday?
Yeah, but he got concussed and they don't know if he's going to play.
A couple of things have broken in their favor in the last day or so. Right? I mean, the Tennessee thing is huge for the whole conference. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry gets hurt. That changes everything for Tennessee. So, like, I do think a couple of things have broken in their favor. And I do feel better about the way they're playing. Like, they're getting better. That's all you ask. They're getting better. Finally, it felt like they were spinning their wheels here for a little while, but they're improving now.
Update from Murray, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Herbert. Drops back, rolls back, throws it toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught, brought down by Palmer. Went up over Mills for a touchdown, L.A.
Now you got to cover an onside kick.
40 seconds to go. Joshua Palmer with his first career touchdown catch.
It's the height of Mills that's the problem. He doesn't play the ball high. He does not do that. And that's an issue going forward. Teams with the big receivers are going to do this more. I'm surprised they didn't do it today. Really surprised.
Okay, Patriots still have an issue. They still have many issues. But corner's an issue. Jalen Mills is not a natural corner. Gives up, you know, I want to say that touchdown was garbage time, except it wasn't quite full garbage time. You know, it still set up an onside kick that could have gotten the Chargers a tie game. It's not like the Patriots were playing some sort of deep, heavy prevent that was giving them those yards or that touchdown. There were two guys back there, and Jalen Mills was in phase all over the receiver and just lost another jump ball. So I think saying that was garbage time sort of takes him off the hook. He meant to make the play, wanted to make the play, and couldn't make the play.
I mean, the one thing you don't want to do there is give up a touchdown. They hold them to the field goal, right? And then they get, if they get these, still going to get in the end zone, even if they recover the onside kick.
Yeah, I think the Chargers were a play away from just kicking the field goal with 30 seconds left on second down and then trying the onside kick, you know, just to make it the one score game and then throw it in the end zone. But they got the touchdown there because Mills once again blew the coverage. Now, this is a natural save. He, I listened to the Beatles show, Beatle and Zolak today. He played no corner last year, none, zero. So now he's being asked to play corner and he's exposed. Trade deadline's a week from today.
No, it's tomorrow.
Trade deadline is tomorrow. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Sneaked up on me too.
Trade deadline is a day from today at exactly this hour. It's 24 hours away, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Is that the number one need?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I would say yes. Stephon Gilmore had a game-sealing interception yesterday,
oh,
too.
Oh, did right? he? Whoops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was that, too. I just figured I'd slip that in there, given the timing. So, yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I'm not expecting them to do anything big tomorrow. I'd be surprised if they did. Maybe I'm an idiot for thinking that. You know, and I would think that a game like yesterday gives you a little bit of a nudge to say, okay, we're getting better. Maybe we can factor in this thing some way, somehow, down the stretch and make the playoffs. Like, I think that is sort of alive again. I don't anticipate them making any sort of substantive move.
Corner, linebacker, third down back. But that play, because I thought it was kind of a garbage time touchdown, but all that showed me is, again, the Chargers are kind of idiots. Why weren't you trying to stretch the field earlier in the game? And you have big wide receivers. It blew my mind that they didn't try to go deep all that much.
Right, especially against him. You know, targeting your weak defensive backs. Maybe that's why the Pats were zoned for a lot of it, you know, to protect him. But either way, I feel that's a need. And I feel that, Maz, you can never say never with this Patriots team. I mean, you know that. So as soon as you think they're not going to do something, they do it. And as soon as you say, well, that's not them, it becomes them and they do it. And so I've ceased to be surprised by anything that the Patriots do. I mean, just know that the trade deadline, I think the last several years, has gotten far more interesting than it used to be. I mean, it was a great trade today. Von Miller to the Rams.
All-timer.
I mean, like, that's just a great, perfect trade that I wish the NFL in the past did more of. Like, that's truly, and I don't know what Von Miller's contract status is. Let's just call him a rental. It's like renting that ace for the last month and a half of a baseball season. It's like trading for Taylor Hall at the deadline for the last month and a half of a Stanley Cup run. It's like, in football, you almost never see that thing.
It's a blockbuster.
They are all in.
And so, but that's just like, that's the, like, God, I wish, and I feel there's more of it now. There's more of it in the league than there used to be.
For sure.
So Von Miller today goes from the Broncos to the Rams for his second and third round pick.
Yes.
Is it all in next year's draft?
Yes.
2022. Yep.
So the Rams have now traded their first, second, and third round picks for next year.
I believe that is correct.
So would you say that maybe they're all in on this season? And they are a team that just does not care about draft picks, apparently.
No, not at all. Again, and incredibly, they have very few draft picks without getting busted for cheating.
So, yeah, they, as opposed to just giving them away because they get caught cheating, they actually get players in return for them.
Exactly.
That's an interesting strategy.
It is. It's a different approach.
But that would have been an interesting trade. I don't know if you're in the market. I don't know. That feels way too rich for the Patriots' blood. But if that's a sign of players, you know, about to move or going to move or anything, I just wouldn't rule anything out. That's all. And I would once again reiterate that the trade deadline's tomorrow, not next week.
I would love it for them to surprise me. And like a legit corner would make a huge difference on that defense. Because, again, I think it then slots Jackson into a better spot. I think then you'd have two terrific cover corners. You could play man. You could play zone. It takes pressure off of some of the other guys back there, whether you're talking about safeties or Mills specifically. Like, oh, it just would completely change the defense.
Okay, so Patriots trade deadline. That's another little topic that you can weigh in on today if you like. Jeff in New Hampshire. What do you got, Jeff?
So I'm not ready to – let me preface this by saying I'm not ready to take my pants off at Bill Belichick drafting yet. But we talk about Mac. Obviously, Mac is solid. The thing that hasn't been spoke about that I think is Christian Barmore. Christian Barmore looks like he could be a game wrecker on the inside of the defensive line. And the stats actually back it up in regards to rookies. The last thing, and then I'll hang up, Brandon Bolden should never, ever touch the ball on third down. I don't know why. For some reason, these are – Third and short back. Two solid backs. Damian looks good. Just stop giving Brandon Bolden the ball on third down.
But please. Again, Jeff, I think this is to Maz's point. Brandon Bolden usually comes in there because he's there to pass protect or catch a little flare. So the Pats think, okay, they think he's in there to catch a little flare. We're going to run him. And they're trying to do this when the defense thinks they're doing that. They're overthinking it. That's what Brandon Bolden is, overthinking it.
Yeah, they try to fool you all the time. You think that this guy's in here to pass protect or to catch a pass. We're actually going to hand it off to him, you know, just to be unpredictable. So, like, I honestly, that play yesterday, which was 3rd and 1, if I'm not mistaken, he got absolutely blown up in the backfield by Derwin James, who just jumped right through there. I don't even put that one on Bolden.
It's not his fault.
James got in there completely untouched and just obliterated him. So that, to me, was a failing up front. I'm not sure there are any running backs that they have that would get through that.
And that Barmore, you heard his name a lot yesterday in that second half. He was very disruptive. I think he had a sack, and it was drawn pressure. He drew a holding call. Like, he was real good.
He's getting to be a monster.
Feels like an actual legitimate draft success.
Stunning.
It's just, it's been so long that it's refreshing, to say the least. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know you can't get into specifics, but I'm just wondering if you've gotten a sense for how active this trade deadline could be around the NFL. Seems like it's kind of been more quiet than it's been in recent years. Do you expect the conversations to ramp up over the next day? And have you guys been talking to any teams?
Yeah, I think this is the time of year that, you know, personnel departments always communicate with each other. And we certainly had, you know, probably the normal amount of communication, you know, with other teams that, you know, whether they have an interest in a player, want to exchange a player, or maybe they have somebody that they are looking to, the right opportunity was there that they would, you know, trade that player. So, yeah, those conversations go on. We've had those where it's, you know, you talk for a week, 10 days, 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, and the situation's imminent and it never happens. And then we've had other situations, like the other situations where it's 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon and something comes up and you end up doing it. So I don't think it really means too much today. Again, it's kind of normal to have some conversations. It's also fairly normal to Monday after the game from yesterday and maybe Tuesday morning for teams to maybe have a little different point of view than they might have had on Saturday or Friday or Thursday when you talked to them before, that somebody got hurt, the guy was available, they need to keep them, or something happened and, you know, they need to feel like they want to just go ahead and move on from the player. And so that's, you know, if the price is right and that kind of thing. Same thing for us. You know, we're sitting here today and somebody could call and they lost somebody yesterday and say, hey, you know, you have depth of disposition. Would you trade so-and-so or not? So it's we'll just see what happens. Honestly, I'm not too worried about that. You know, I think Dave Ziegler and his staff, they have most of the communications on that. They keep me informed if there's something that, you know, looks like it's might be moving or moving slowly in a direction. But, you know, we wrapped up the Charger game and, you know, I've already, you know, spent quite a bit of time on Carolina, and that's really where I'm going to focus my time now. If something comes up, it comes up, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
So there's Bill with your trade deadline update at Von Miller Trade. He is up at the end of the year. That's just a true rental. That's cool. It doesn't happen often in that sport. Also very expensive. A second and third round pick for 9 games? You think Bill Belichick would ever, on his worst day, give up a second and third round pick for 9 games that he had under contract? Now, Sanu ended up being only 9 or 10 games, but he was under contract for the next year. They just hated him so much that he was gone. But do you think he would ever give up a second or third round pick for a guy who had half a year left on his contract?
Nope.
Can you imagine that?
No, I'm not sure he'd give up a fourth for that.
Wow. All right. Anyway, back to your phones here on everything. Richie and Norwood. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Let me shut all the radio off. Two things. You know, this team really reminds me of the 0-1 team. Remember, they were 5-5. The Rams came in. And remember, they beat them. And remember, the Rams coach said, we're going to see this team again. But I remember a playoff game when the Jets came in. Okay, we had a great season. Right? They knocked us off.
And Richie, what's your second point?
That's when the Jets, they said, the Patriot players said the Jets were playing zone. And that's why they lost that playoff game. Check it out.
Okay. 2010, yes,
maybe?
Yes, when Rex Ryan came in here and rope-a-doped you, and yes, okay. I'm not sure what that had to do with yesterday's game or anything. Does this Patriots team feel like the 2001 Patriots?
Nope. I hate that comparison. I hate it.
Really? I can't imagine why.
I can't despise, I just despise it. I absolutely despise it. And so,
it's like any team that kind of sucks with a young quarterback reminds me of the 2001 Patriots.
Yeah, it takes me back to 0-1.
Any team that claws to 5-5 and has a young quarterback and not many people expect them to do anything reminds me of the 2001 Patriots. Yeah, how many teams profiled as the 2001 Patriots? Like everyone that's a mediocre 500 team with a young quarterback. That's what it feels like.
Oh, yeah. And how many Hall of Famers did that team have on defense in retrospect? Like, looking back at that, not to get on that, right? It's just not the same. What yesterday did, though, I'll say this. Like, it raised their ceiling a little, right? I mean, it increased the possibilities for them. Because you look at it now and say, they can go to Carolina and win. They can beat Cleveland at home. So now there are games that 2 weeks ago we were looking at saying, oh, boy, they're in trouble. And now we say, well, they're getting better. They can win some of these games now.
After that Texans game, you were saying it was like the early 90s all over again, and I kind of agreed with you. Like, that was real ugly.
Yeah, look, and again, I deal in hyperbole. What do you want me to tell you? I thought that first half was scary. That first half in Houston was a scary game. And then since that time, I feel like, little by little, they're getting better. And that's all you want to see is improvement.
Bob in Needham, what do you got for us, Bob?
Yeah, you know, guys, I'd be remiss not to mention how thrilled I was to hear that the Celtics picked up the options on Flotsam and Jetsam today. That was thrilling news, by the way. About the Patriots, why is Matt Patricia even involved at any level on this team? I heard on the pregame yesterday with Gasper and Bertrand that he had a hand in having them stay an extra night in L.A. and fly out this morning because of a study he did in Detroit for them. I mean, this guy was horrible as a defensive coordinator in the Super Bowl that last year. He was terrible for the Detroit Lions. Everyone hated his guts. Now he's making...
So, Bob, why is he here? I mean, you know why he's here. He's Bill's friend, and he's cheap. Or free, even. Detroit's paying his salary. So that's why he's here. That's why Mike Lombardi was here. That's why Brett Bielema was here. That's why a whole manner of guys have been here over the years on Bill's staff. He's close to Bill, a suck up to Bill, and he's cheap. Okay? I don't know how qualified he is. And that thing yesterday with that review, if Matt Patricia's really in that role, if he's in the video booth or he's the guy in Bill's ear, he's the new Ernie Adams, that's his purview. And they screwed that thing up royally. That was a bad challenge. And Bill today, we'll play the sound again coming up. Bill taking the fall for that, to me, reeks of him covering up for the guys upstairs, which means Patricia. And so it's fair to bring up today, as it's fair to bring up every day, the guys that are on his staff, kids, sycophants, kids of sycophants, guys who are cheap, guys who are having their salaries paid by other teams. There's just been way too much of that in the last several years, and I don't know how it helps him. And it's actually coinciding at just a time when he needs more help, not less. You know, he needs someone reliable up there. You get older, your eyesight goes, Maz. I don't know if you've noticed that in your life, but your eyesight goes, your acuity goes, your sharpness goes, your energy level goes. You need more help up there, not less.
What could you possibly be talking about?
Oh, my God. And he's got Patricia up there throwing challenge flags because he's got the wrong guy with the holding call. That's just brutal. Ryan and Malden. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys? So, got to talk about the Pats and the defense and how bad it's been this year, and especially in the red zone where it's been horrific.
So why are we saying this today, Ryan? You didn't like their defense yesterday?
Well, it's getting better. Don't get me wrong. It's getting better, but they got to get rid of Steven. Speaking of help, they need to help Steven, Bill's son, because, you know, they're just the blown call. Look at the last play of the touchdown. That shouldn't have been caught at all.
Well, was that coaching or was they have the wrong guy playing corner?
Yeah, to me, that's got more to do with Mills on that play.
They had the coverage. Look, there were a few little things that bugged me defensively, scheme-wise. The zoning up, you know, obviously in the long run and overall, it helped because it confused Herbert. But I thought there were some key plays where they just gave Keenan Allen way too much room in a soft zone. It's like this is their number one guy. It's a third down or their touchdown, the second Chargers touchdown. Keenan Allen's just in a soft little zone there between Van Noy and a corner, and it's like no one paid any special attention to him. And I think it was a third and goal. It was a key play. And it was like, is anyone going to pay attention to that guy? He's like the guy. And they just sort of gave him a free release in a soft zone, and it was kind of an easy touchdown on a big play. So, like, that sort of bugged me scheme-wise. But that's really sort of nitpicking because overall their scheme was good yesterday. They confused that quarterback.
Yeah, and it was the right way to play him, too. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about this going into the game. But, you know, with their receivers, they're big. Allen and Mike Williams are big. You don't have the corners to cover all those guys one-on-one, and then you can add in the tight end and even Eckler.
Today's not the day to bitch about the defense.
The defense was good, and then they made big plays.
Totally.
Big game-changing plays that won you the ball game. I wouldn't bitch about that. There's things to bitch about, and believe me, we're bitching about them. Defense, though, not really. Not today. Here's an update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.